name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Good, so I'd like to talk to you about the reading we heard from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians a few minutes ago. And I want to talk to you about the grace that goes before us, which is one of the things that St. Paul talks about in this reading, the grace that goes before us. So yesterday I had my COVID shot and I went to one of the regional clinics in Calgary, whatever. You know, it's a little more complicated this year, right? And so I have a little bit of a phobia about needles. And the nurse was saying, perhaps you'd like to look at this needle and see that the expiry date. Like, do not show me that thing. It's not going to work for me. But anyway, she was very nice. And I told her I was a little bit phobic. And so, you know, they do what they do, which is they'll try and start to talk to you, right? And so she was a nice young Muslim woman wearing a hijab. And so she asked me, people always ask me, are you still working? And I'm going, I said, yeah, you know, I'm retired, but I'm pretty busy. And she said, what's your work? And I said, well, I'm an Anglican priest. And she goes, a priest. And then she continues on, and she gives me my vaccination. I got to tell you, I said to her, that was the easiest vaccination I've ever had. I didn't feel anything. There was no drama around my vaccination, which is good. So anyway, I thanked her very much. And as I was leaving, she looked at me and she said to me, can I ask you a question? And I said to her, well, sure. What's the question? And she goes, I'm really busy at the clinic all day, and by the time, just because the way my schedule works out during the day, and because of how exhausted I am when I get home, I cannot say my obligatory prayers. And I'm thinking, well, this is a very unusual situation, in which I have a young Muslim woman asking a priest to give her spiritual guidance about her obligatory prayers. And so I have three thoughts in my mind, kind of simultaneously. One is, this is kind of remarkable that she would do this, that this young Muslim woman would talk to a Christian priest about her spiritual practices, her spiritual life. That's remarkable, and it shows a lot of vulnerability and a lot of trust on her behalf. I think number two, well, she's a very open and trusting person. You know, she's willing to talk this way. And the third is, I'm a Christian. As she knows, I'm a Christian priest, and I believe Jesus is Lord, Jesus is King, and I would like everyone to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and come to the knowledge of Him. Right? So she's asking me for my advice on how to do this. And so my question in my mind is, what should I do? Like, how do I respond to this very gracious human person and at the same time respond authentically to what I know to be true, and that is that Jesus is King and Jesus is Lord. So St. Paul, in today's reading, asserts the latter point very clearly. You heard this. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. All things were made by Him and through Him, and all things hold together in Him. And to paraphrase Paul, everything is moving in the direction that everything will be brought under the reign of Christ in the end. He's very clear about that. He's quoting an ancient hymn. But then he says something at the end. It's easy to miss this, but he says something which is a little bit strange. And I'll paraphrase what he says in verse 24, but it's this. He says, Christ's death and resurrection have been proclaimed throughout the whole of creation. And it's not like he's just saying, well, you know, we apostles have been very busy and we've been everywhere, you know, at the Roman Empire and everybody's heard about Jesus. That's not what he's saying. He's saying Jesus' death and resurrection have been like some kind of a depth charge that has shifted everything in creation so that somehow everything, not everyone, not just people, but it sounds crazy, but it's what he's saying, the birds and the animals and the rocks and the trees and the stars and the sun and outer space, everything somehow knows that the resurrection has happened. It's affected and shifted absolutely, absolutely everything. So that we can say, if Paul, for example, say, this is remarkable. In one of his missionary journeys, St. Paul is going into this particular city and he's going to leave or something, but Jesus appears to him and says, don't worry, there are many of my people here in this place. And you're thinking, what does he mean there are many of my people here in this place? They haven't heard about this before. But it's this, the grace of God has gone before him. All creation knows that Jesus that Jesus has been crucified and risen, and that he is Lord and King, and everything is under his rule, and this grace has gone before him. It's what we call, give you the technical term for it, it's what we call prevenient grace. That is that there has a grace that's kind of paved the way, that's found in all creation, deep inside of everyone. They have a sense of this. Not only that, but as you heard today, St. Paul says, well, you guys are going to have some hard times, right? It's going to be difficult being faithful. As a Christian, you're like 0.001% of the population. People are going to persecute you. He says, but you need to know that everything is moving in the direction of everything being under the reign of Christ. So be faithful. Be patient. Be persistent. Maintain your allegiance to Christ, because this is only going one direction. You know, we hear this stuff sometimes, like going, oh, you know, these are the various catastrophes that are going to happen in the world. Well, you know, catastrophes happen. But St. Paul says, we know the end of the story, and the end of the story is this. Jesus Christ is King, and everything will be brought under his most gracious rule, as the collect says. So, It's not like what you do isn't important. It's that this is all going in one direction, and God has already made the way before you. So when people hear of Christ deep inside of them, they already have a sense of it. We see this, I don't know if you've heard about this, but we see this, for example, in Iran, where a few decades ago there were 500 Christians who'd converted to Christianity. Now there are close to a million. And many of those have been the result of visions that people have had of Christ before really even they've had exposure to the gospel. So back to my original problem, right? It's not a problem is putting it the wrong way, but my original question. So I have someone good intentions and very faithfully, and to my surprise, going, yeah, we're Christian, you're a Christian, I'm Muslim, we're not enemies, like, I'd like your advice on my spiritual life, like, well, how do I respond to this? Well, it didn't feel like the time to say, convert and be baptized. It didn't feel like that moment. I would like that to happen to everybody, but it did not feel like that moment. Because I know this, Christ's grace has gone before us. His prevenient grace is at work in people's lives. And it's not, although Christ has given me my place in that, I am not solely responsible in converting the world. I have one particular thing from moment to moment to do at that particular moment. And at that particular moment, I felt this. What Christ maybe has given me to do at this moment is to convey in as much as possible the grace of Christ by being gracious, if that makes sense. So we talk a lot about grace. It's this theological term we use in church, right? We talk a lot about grace. We should maybe talk even more about being gracious, because that's grace put into action, is graciousness, right? So at this particular point, what I can do is to convey the grace of Christ, in whom all things hold together, by being gracious. And so I said to her, well, you know, one of our great teachers was at a great council one day, and his priest said to him, I said, I'm under the obligation of daily prayers as a priest myself. I understand all about guilt if I can't do them. I said, one of our great teachers said to his priest, who was at a great council one day, he said, Father, we can't say our daily prayers. You know, it's this huge council. We don't even have time. And he said to them, do this. At the end of the day, say, thank you for the gifts of today. I'm sorry for the way I've sinned today. Give me the gifts that I need for tomorrow. And I said to her, if you can say that, you know, isn't our relationship with God all about his heart to our heart? I mean, the obligatory prayers are, you know, for me at least, very important. But in the end, isn't that what it's all about? And I said, and doesn't your teaching call God the merciful and the compassionate? And I said, that's how we should think of God, as merciful and compassionate. And I know all about guilt, you know, religious person. I said, we all know about guilt, but I said, in the end, God is merciful and compassionate. So I said to her, does that help? And she goes, yeah, you know, that helped a lot, which I hope it did. So I can pray for her, pray for other people who don't have faith in Christ to come to Christ, but I also know that the grace of Christ has gone before us, that preparing the way. So what is the point of us being here together on Sunday morning? What's that? Sorry, afternoon, Father. Thank you for putting it so graciously. Yeah. Sunday afternoon. Good day. What's the point in us being here on Sunday afternoon together? I think about our, you know, stewardship Sunday stuff. Well, because it reminds us that in Christ all things are held together, that his grace goes before us, that everything is going in one direction, the world will be brought under his reign, we are saved by the grace of Christ, and that grace makes us gracious, right? That grace makes us gracious. And we learn to be gracious through the body and blood of Christ, through the word of God, and through our relationships with each other. And doesn't the world need a little more graciousness? So here we are, bringing God, a little bit of the kingdom of God together by being in a place that is. Here's my favorite quote from any spiritual writer, and I'm going to end with this. Grace upon grace upon grace. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that in Jesus our King, the world is brought together. Thank you that it's brought together under his most gracious rule, that all things are held together in him. We thank you that that his grace goes before us. We thank you that we can live with hope and persistence because of this. And we pray for that time again when all things, all people, all creation will be brought under his most gracious rule. We ask this in his name, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.